the Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by books, officially about books, because of books. My name's Aaron. I'm here with our personal pals, Brick.
Hello, I am Brick.
Yes, and Dave.
Hey, happy 2019, babies.
Yes, yes. It is a new year. It's a new podcast as well. One thing we want to do as we sort of get into phase two or season two of the Yak Babies podcast is look back on 2018, the year that was, and sort of figure out what our favorite book was of that year. And we should say, I don't think we mean here favorite book, because this favorite book that was published in that year, because I don't think we... any of us have books that are published in 2018 as their favorite.
Maybe, ooh, I do.
I guess mine is partially published in 2018. But just your favorite reading experience of the year, I should say, is kind of what I'm looking for. So what did you read that sort of stuck out to you most or was most interesting to you? What was your favorite experience with literature of that year? So, Brick, you have yours ready to go. Let's hear about you.
Yeah. So my book was written in Arabic in 2013.
Oh, okay.
But it was the English translation was actually published in 2018, and it was the best book I read in 2018. Short of rereads of books that I know I already like.
Yeah.
Which I figured should be excluded. And that is Frankenstein in Baghdad by Ahmed Sadawi.
Yeah.
We talked about this on one of the first, it was either the first What Are We Reading or the second.
Yeah.
Where I had started it and then I checked back in later in the year after I finished it. It's a great book. I really liked it. So it's sort of loosely a retelling of Frankenstein. Not so much retelling the story as some of the concepts, but reworked to be appropriate for a new context.
Yeah.
So, and that would be occupied Iraq. The story tells about this guy who collects body parts from victims of suicide bombings or truck bombings or whatever, and stitches them together with the hope. Apparently, it's difficult to get a proper burial in Iraq if you don't have a full body or an identifiable body or something like that. So his idea is to kind of make a body out of these parts so that these Iraqis who have been dismembered and blown up can get full burials. That's his kind of impetus. And yeah. Then it comes to life and goes around killing people. And it becomes a bit of a morality tale because he only wants to kill, quote unquote, bad guys. Hmm. But in an occupied city in the middle of a war, that's a pretty murky definition.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of complex factors in there. The writing is very good. What I, as an American who was against the Iraq occupation from the beginning, what I found most interesting was the way the Americans are treated here, which is it's almost a supernatural presence, right, where they're kind of always looming in the periphery, and regular old scene is happening in a cafe and people are talking and Black Hawk helicopters are flying overhead. It's treated almost the same way, in a gothic novel like Frankenstein,
right?
Even though Frankenstein itself didn't have this, where there's a werewolves in the woods and creatures of the night lurking just outside the distance. So it's never safe, but it's also outside your control or outside really your understanding. Mm-hmm. And it was very well done, and made me feel pretty bad,
right?
Which is a good thing, I think. And then just on its own merit, it's an interesting story. It's plotted pretty well. It's not particularly long. It's only about 250 pages. Excellent book. Totally recommended. It won the International Prize for Arabic Fiction, and it was shortlisted for something, which is how I heard about it. Did the Man Booker start doing a second award for international books? One of those prizes started doing an international.
I think the Man Booker was only UK writers, and now it's open.
And they opened
to
it up, so that's it. I thought that's where. Okay, so anyway, it was listed for one of those. I don't know if it won it or not, but
yeah,
it's a great book. It's totally worth it. So Frankenstein in Baghdad by Ahmed Sadawi, the best book of 2018 as far as I'm concerned.
Excellent. Dave, what about you?
I read three books that I would say had a kind of a lasting impression on me last year.
Bible is one.
Two of them I'll go through quickly. One is Frankenstein, which I had never read before. But we talked about it. We had a book club discussion during our October Spooktacular, so you listeners can go back and...
And you should go back and listen to it, because I think that was one of our better episodes last year. We dug pretty deep into that book.
Yeah, that was a good one. One of Brick's favorite books of all time.
Yes, all
if
time.
Not his favorite.
Top two.
Top two. another one I covered in a fiction edition of What Are We Reading, which is Stuart Onan's Last Night at the Lobster. Came out in 2007. Simple plot, Red Lobster, Amala Jason Red Lobster in Connecticut is closing down, and it follows the manager through his day. Three of us and maybe Nico are going to read that book all together for a future book club.
Yeah.
So pick that up if you want to follow along with that. It's a really quick read, but it's very engrossing. And the other one is the first, I think, Booker Prize winner from outside of the UK, which is George Saunders' Lincoln in the Bardo, published in 2017, but I read it earlier in 2018 in the spring. It's about a group of dead people in limbo, which is what the Bardo is. They're kind of stuck in the DC cemetery in which they were buried. And then along comes Abraham Lincoln burying his dead son in like 1862. Maybe 1863. And meanwhile, he's, you know, also going through this, obviously, period of sending many, many thousands of other sons off to die. So there's a lot of that going on there. It's a very unconventional novel. It's told through, part of it is told through snippets of historical books and documents, most of which are real, but some of which Saunders invented, which is really interesting. So part of it is narrated that way. The most of the rest is from the points of view of the characters, but like a rotating cast, quickly rotating. So it's like sometimes it's just a word or two. It's like they're narrating it all together, talking about what happens in the story. But what happens is you first read the narration, and then below that it says who the narrator is. So it's kind of backwards. It's right. Like kind of reading a stage play, but you don't know who's speaking until afterwards.
Right.
So he's really playing with form, and it's a book that you kind of have to learn how to read as you go along. It's very funny, like all of Saunders' work, but mostly it's just devastatingly sad and crushing. But this was, I mean, this was such a, for me, it was a really powerful book. At the end, I wanted to kill myself. But, like, in a good way. Like, it really taps something in me, which is what I'm looking for in books, and it almost never happens. I read it on a beach in Mexico. It's like an anti-beach read, but it was so engaging that when I finished it, I flipped back to page one and read it again, which I almost never do.
Huh.
And I was almost tempted to do it a third time.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
That's impressive.
Excellent book.
Yeah.
Definitely... not for everyone, I guess. I mean, it's like, it's difficult to learn how to read it.
Sure.
For sure. But so yeah, that was, I would say that's the best new to me book I read in 2018. And since we're here talking about it, I'll say the most disappointing book I read in 2018 is Philip Ross Goodbye Columbus.
Fuck you. You had me hooked on Lincoln the Bardo with the phrase, I wanted to kill myself at the end. So I'm going to read that.
Yeah. It feels very much up your alley.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That sounds great.
My most disappointing book was Early Work by Andrew Martin.
Oh, no.
And we will be talking about it soon.
Yeah.
Wait, was that disappointing? You knew you weren't going to like it ever.
It's not disappointing.
I didn't think I was going to dislike it as much as I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I wasn't expecting anger.
Right.
I was. I was expecting you to get angry.
Yeah. Then you were not disappointed.
More on that to come. My book of 2018, this probably won't be a surprise to anyone. I've talked about it a lot in this podcast and in podcasts to come in the future as well. It's Mr. Miracle, rather, by Tom King and Mitch Gerads from DC Comics. Mostly published in 2018. I think the first three or four came out in 2017, but the bulk of it came out in 2018. It certainly finished in 2018. And I talked about it a lot on this podcast. I just couldn't get enough of it. I thought it was a great series. And probably the most emotional read that I had all year. What stuff I read that I enjoyed and sort of felt interested in, but never, not as sort of much close to my sort of, I guess, emotional needs maybe, or sort of, so I felt close to the bone. And it really did. I mentioned before the issue that I read in the bar in Boston, that bar Deluxe, where I felt like I was reading something that was being written for me directly. And partly I was drunk, which helped, but I sort of can still remember the feeling of sort of like leaning closer and closer to the comic because I couldn't believe it was saying what it was saying and how accurate it was to my sort of feelings about myself and the world around me.
And wanting to kill yourself?
Well, yes. I mean, so it's a book about a superhero, Mr. Miracle, who was created by Jack Kirby, who was a super escape artist, and he's been a part of DC Comics for decades. And I've always loved those Kirby New Gods characters anyway. And the beginning of this series starts with him trying to kill himself on the floor of his bathroom, bleeding out. and his wife, Big Barda, finds him and takes him to the hospital, and he recovers. But there's a sense throughout that he hasn't quite recovered, or something is off. Reality is warped in some way, and you're not quite sure what to make of it. Tom King is, his sort of writerly mannerisms have, we know enough of them now, if you've been reading his work in Mr. Miracle or Batman or The Vision or Sheriff of Baghdad or any of his other books. Repetition is one of his big things, and sort of like a highly structural, you know, sort of paced version of the story. And those things are, you know, apparent in Mr. Miracle, and they're not subtle or hidden, and that can be a detriment in some ways. You know, this sort of thing of like, oh, I figured this guy out now, or I figured the writing out. But in this case, it didn't really feel like a detriment because I felt more comfortable with the storytelling. I just knew what was coming, at least in terms of the format, and I welcomed it. It was refreshing, I think. So throughout, you'll get these dark panels. It's a 9-panel grid mimicking the Watchmen style, and you'll get sort of panels that are all black that just say Dark Side is with a period. It's this sort of acknowledgement, I think, of depression and self-hatred and self-doubt that kind of like is weeded throughout the book. And, you know, Dark Side, if you are up on DC cosmic characters, the New Gods, then you know what Darkseid represents and who he is. But if you don't, it's this menace, this sort of sense of dread and fear that runs throughout the core of the book that doesn't ever have a physical manifestation until the very end. All of a sudden, Darkseid finally appears, and he's big and scary. And so you kind of see that sort of fear written large. But for the most part, it is the sort of like internal dread, sort of the internal monster you're fighting or fearing or whatever the case may be. So, and Mitch Garrett's rather art is incredible. It's very nuanced and detailed without being sort of realistic. So it feels almost like documentary through a filter, as if like cartoon characters or comic characters are sort of moving in the real world, but with a filter of the comic world onto them. Which is not a great description, but it kind of conveys what I think is going on in the art and why I like it so much. It's about parenting and fatherhood and failure, and your past and your present and relationships and sex and all this stuff, and does it all really well. I think it's a great book and worth reading. Certainly my favorite book of 2018 was Mr. Miracle.
Can I ask, is there a non-comic book that stands out to you from 2018?
It's a good question. We discussed this before. I've mentioned a couple times where I feel like my reading has, I don't want to say devolved, because it's not necessarily negative or bad, but certainly has changed, where I do a lot of reading on my phone, unfortunately, Twitter and sort of journalism, you know, the New Yorker or whatever, or the Guardian essays. And then comics I will read because I still just, you know, I'm in the habit of reading comics every week, essentially, and also use the Hoopla app on my Kindle to get library books from that are comics from the library. But haven't sort of kept up with nonfiction and fiction as much as I should have, at least in the sort of the traditional print, you know, alphabet text media. But thanks to a generous gift from my personal pal, Dave, over here, I have a light for my bed now, like a lamp, so I can read at night. And I think I'm going to try hard to read more fiction and nonfiction this year and have a more varied and broader approach to reading. So yeah, like if I had to choose one, I would say, I guess, that Shopping Malls book, right, that I discussed before, that was part of the Everyday Object series, which I, you know, found interesting. I don't know if I enjoyed it so much as I just found it kind of compelling, but I thought about it a lot for sure. Beyond that, though, I read stuff that I was fine and kind of like, but put it away and didn't really think about it after that. A couple 33rds that sort of just like, meh, whatever. I'm hoping to have more to say next year, let's say, is my intention. Well, that was the year that was, but 2019 awaits. New reading experiences, new books, new comics, new fun things, hopefully less phone reading and so forth. Let us know what your favorite books of the year were. What did you sort of hold on to? What you're going to put in your memory box for 2018 as far as your bookshelf, your reading stack goes. Find us on Twitter at YakBabies and email us at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. Write a review of our podcast on iTunes. Go there in a little box, say that we are handsome and fun, you like us, that you want to be us and be with us. All the things you want that are positive to say about the podcast would be great. With 5 stars coming in that review.
Even if you don't use iTunes, you can still leave a review.
Yeah, exactly. You can just go there and do it like a little pirate. That's that. We'll see you all on the flip side. YakBabies, yakking off.
A wolf, she sees with golden eyes. She follows me, she knows my lonely mind. How many times she's singing in my dreams, and she knows all my songs. And if I'm right, she will sing along. At Idlewood, at Cherry late at night, the moon is full, the hill waits for the sun. Old Salome and Hazel settle down along the yellow lines. Hollywood bones love to sing along. Ride the vine. Look for us there.